Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR, my morning drive. Can you tell I'm excited? I got the DA on. He's a great guy, and I really enjoy having him on because he is an office that never stops. And I mean that, very sincerely. We've got a show today that it's airing the last day of April for a reason. The reason is this. It's the end, supposed end, of Child Abuse Month. But the DA, along with Heather Williamson and a bunch of other people, state police, local police, they took out 10 predators. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what this DA has done this month that I know of. And I can't say enough good things about him and his entire office. His name is Timothy Shergrew. He's a good-looking guy. He still has hair. But he's got a ways to go in the criminal justice field. He could end up like me. But Mr. DA, thank you for coming on this show. And let me say this as a citizen, not as a talk show person. Thank you for all you're doing for our Berkshire County community.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for saying that. We work real hard. You know, this is a very tiring month for me. We've been very, very busy, as you know. Yes. But we're getting the job done. This was, you know, we kicked it off on April 1st for the National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And that was with Heather Williamson from the Kids Place that I started 32 years ago. And so it was nice to kick it off there. And we made it well known that we were going to make sure we worked on prevention. And we're bringing the programs into the schooling for children so that they can know that there are online predators out there. And that they could be a danger. And we're also saying that having a parents class with that. So the parents will be aware as well to look at your kids' devices, to look at their tablets, their phones, and to make sure you have the parental controls on there and your tracking device on there to follow your children in case something ever happened to them. So there's so many ways that we could teach parents to be vigilant, to protect your children. Right. And we were kids, we went outside, but our parents were still, we knew we were nearby. Nowadays, the outside is really the internet. And we don't know where they go. And they're from all over the place and they can come and take our children. And so we made a big point of it. And so what we ended up doing was, I was talking about that, but even when I'm so vocal and verbal about what's going on, we were running a sting. And in the end, we picked up 11 now on that one sting, but I had picked up three before that. So in the month of April, we arrested 14 men that had come into the county trying to have sex with 14 and 15 year old children. And the one that those 11 that we had were coming in here to actually pay the children. They were asking for $200 an hour to pay them for certain sexual favors. And they all came, they showed up. We had a location. They showed up here thinking they were going to meet a child, but they were meeting a 6'7" state trooper, which I think they were kind of surprised about. We did it quietly. It was in a local place in the Berkshires. I don't want to say where, because we do our stinks in different locations. But these individuals answered an ad in the paper looking for, we were originally going to do it just with looking for, you know, people that are trying to get prostitutes. It turned out that they all wanted children. And so it was, and children, you know, between the ages of 13 and 15. So and it was just throwing that out. And they were just offering it right up, telling us what they want to do, really graphic, horrific stuff that you could imagine, that you probably can't imagine. It was so horrific, the sexual things they want to do these children. And so we set up to come meet us, and they came, and they were arrested, and they were put in jail. So, you know, and the one, there was one that I don't think we put in jail, he only because the jail couldn't house him because he had a medical condition, but we ended up putting him on a GPS device and make sure that he's monitored in home confinement and medical issues. But otherwise, we locked them all up. We put them on bail, and you know, two of which turned out to be police officers. The one from Milford, you know, Auburn rather, in the eastern part of the state in Worcester County. He was actually get out of work at 4 o'clock that day on a Saturday, and by 5:30 he was on trying to make his arrangements to come to the Berkshires to try to pick up a 15-year-old and pay her for $200 for sex. He didn't show up, but we arrested him on Monday morning. And we went to Auburn and picked them up with the warrants. But everybody else did show up. We had 11 of those. And before we even started, we had three others. So there were a total of 14 in the month of April of people that wanted to come to meet children and instead were being state troopers and female state troopers as well that actually spoke to these individuals on the phone, talking to them as children. And there, it was just so prevalent. We just threw the net out there, and boom, we got it. And here I am on April 1st telling everybody, we're going to be doing this month. We're coming
Yeah.
in. We're going to be prosecuting child abuse, and we're not. We're going to make a big point of it. And as everything I said, and when I was running in 2022, I have done. I told you we work on the guns and drugs. I told you we work on elder abuse. Tell you we got our, we're back to the schools doing the stuff with the kids. I've done. Just had a organized retail crime
Yeah.
conference. 200 people that were there. From all over the Northeast. So we're doing the things we said we want to do, but I'm very proud of the work that the North Adams Police, Pittsfield Police, and my people from the detective unit upstairs, the 15 troopers we have here, who did such a wonderful job this last month while doing other things. Because while this
Yeah.
was all going on, we also had a child that was missing with a mother that abducted the child. We had that all this week. We had someone that was breaking into the TD Bank ATM machine. We picked that individual up, held him on $30,000 bail, revoked his other bail. And we just had a slew of things going on. Now we have Williams College, where a student was filming at least 18 kids.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, that's just breaking now. It's he was actually took a device, looks like a charging plug for an apple, but on the outside of it, there's a little button on there, and it's actually the camera. And behind it, if you take the plug out, there's a SIM card in there, and it was recording those individuals. A student found that, turned it over to the college administration, and I applaud Williams College for contacting the police and working with us, because working in conjunction, we were able to identify these individuals that had been had their privacy invaded, and charge the individual, and he'll be arraigned shortly. So that was just this week too. So it's been a very, very busy month. But again, people in the county should know that they live in a safe community. We're going to make sure it stays a safe community. And so I have to do the things I have to do to make sure that we are safe.
And a couple of things I just want to pick up on. Number one, in case you didn't catch it, many years ago, this guy, along with Joe Koleus, they formed
Berkshire Scout and Children's Advocacy Center, now called the Kids Place.
Kids Place. That
There you go. It's
a mind
easier.
is a terrible thing to lose. If you find mine, drop it off. But this isn't new for him. This is not new, child abuse, moving those cases, having that, and I'll call it a home. Because when you walk in there, it's not a clinic, it's not a police station, it's not detectives, it's a home, and it's a beautiful home. But we started this month about child abuse with Heather, and like the DA said, and when all of these were hitting, I said to myself, this is awful. But people of Pittsfield, you're not immune. People of Berkshire County, you're not immune. And these things here, these cell phones, can be a weapon for them. Believe me. The
It's true. It's
per
true. And that's what we were trying to, the message was clear when we went there on
yeah.
April 1st. Again, it is a nice, I'm glad you're saying that, because people who haven't been in there, it's a beautiful home. I bought that building in 1994, refurbished it in 1995. It has been multiple refurbishing going on over the years, replacing the roof and the furnace and everything. But it's a beautiful home,
Oh.
three floors, and multiple interview rooms, depending upon the children's age, for really young, for middle, and for high school kids. Different type of rooms that are there. Also games and things for kids to do when they can sit down and relax, to try to ease the trauma that they've been through. And sometimes it's domestic violence situation that they may have observed and been part of, and they get treated there. So we have therapists on staff. We have medical people available that can. We have a medical examination room. We offer medical exams for children that have been abused, both physically and sexually. And we also have therapists that are breaking the cycle of abuse, because we know a lot of abusers had been abused. So we
Yeah.
get them into therapy, into counseling right off the bat, because it's a learned behavior. So we make sure that we try to treat people that are victims of cases,
Yeah.
and we also treat the families. So it's a great situation. But you're right. And one of the things I said on that day, I think you'll remember, is that silence is the biggest ally of an abuser. If we don't
Yeah.
talk about it, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to believe kids get are the objects of sexual attraction to individuals. And we don't want to believe that, but it happens. It happens all the time. I've been doing this 39 years, and I started out doing child abuse cases. So I have seen it in the gamut of my career, and I know it exists, and I want the public to know it exists. So we have to be vigilant and be aware and protect our kids with our devices, with our phones, And that's why I implemented the programs in the school. But what's important about that, here it was, perfect example. I just threw a net out and with our state troopers. We used, I have to give the governor credit too. She gave me this money, almost
$100,000. I saw that. Thank you, Governor Healy, for acknowledging and finding, you know, these are tough times. And I think for Massachusetts, they're going to get tougher. But that money's well spent. Obviously, you've taken 13, 14 predators off the street.
Right. And it was, and not just that, it's a deterrent effect. So Smitty Pignatelli helped us get that too when he was a rep in Atlantic. So I applaud them for getting me that money. And I'm glad that I could show them the results that happened with using those funds, the human trafficking grants that we had, because that's not funded by my office. I have to get a grant in order to do that. And we grant right all the time between $660,000 and $1 million a year that we grant right on. And I give it back to the community. In this particular case, I use that money to catch predators during the month of April, and which everybody knows is Child Abuse Prevention Month. So it's just the stupidity is beyond belief. But they all showed up and we arrested them all. So it just shows you that it's out there and it's on kids' phones. It's on their tablets and they can be easily reached out. And they're very manipulative, these individuals. So it goes hand in hand. That's why we kicked off the education portion. And then I wanted to make a showing that, listen, look how easy it is for me to pick these individuals up. And we did that. And that's all in just in these last few weeks. So the amount of work that we're doing on a week-to-week basis with my office, the lawyers here are working diligently. We still have, I'd like to even get 5 more lawyers if I was able to do so. I have the funding for it, but it's just hard getting people to the Berkshires. But the staff that's working here is working so hard to cover all these cases, to make sure these cases are prosecuted, to make sure the victims have a less traumatic experience, and to make sure they're going through the criminal justice system with our victim advocacy program that helps them go through this and helps them get through the trauma. So I'm very proud of how this office is going. I'm proud of the whole staff. So we have built a nice thing here in the last 2.5 years. And we plan on keep doing that for a long time coming.
And it's done professionally. It's done. I keep up with your conviction rate. I don't keep a tally because math was never my strong point. But you're hitting a lot of home runs. You're getting a lot of convictions. You're not pleading out every single case. Your lawyers, and I want to share with the public, and I would like to thank your lawyers because they try cases.
They do. They try hard cases.
They
don't always
win. They
always do lose. So and I tell people, I'm not afraid of losing. We take the hard cases, so we will lose. We will lose hard cases, but I'd rather do that and give the victim the day in court and give them justice.
Exactly.
And you know, we have a very high success rate. You're right, but we do lose cases because I'm not afraid to try these cases. I tell my lawyers that. Don't be worried about winning and losing. What I care about is the product that's in the courtroom. You go in there, I want to make sure that we are professional, that we are very ethical, and that we take everything very seriously. Yeah. And we look at each case as their own individual case. We treat them differently than any other case. Every case gets their own attention. And the lawyers are doing this, you know, and they're working around the clock. I'll come in on Saturdays and Sundays. They will be in here working. I have got a very good, dedicated staff. Like I said, I could use 5 more. So I'm still advertising for 5 more to get more people going. That's how much we are working. That's how many cases are going forward. We are up probably about 30% higher than we were 2.5 years ago in the Superior Court with more indictments and more charges. And the jail is up, I think, about at least 30 to 40% higher on individuals that are coming in here that were very dangerous coming in from New York City, Albany, and the Holyoke area, Holyoke Springfield. So, you know, I applaud the sheriff for working with me and doing that and us being able to make your city streets safer, make downtown safer, make the entire county safer from Alfred to Clarksburg. You know, we're not just Pittsfield, we're all over the county. And that's what's showing. We work everywhere and make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do. An example is Williamstown and Williams College, where we just worked all this week. And, you know, you're in a very exclusive, nice school with an individual that is a predator again, filming 18.
Predator, yeah.
Yeah, 18 individuals by looking at them. And we're going to be addressing that later this month because that statute needs to change too. And I'm working with Lee Davis and Paul Marks on trying to get the, and hopefully John Barrett, and get the, get the addition, change the statute from a misdemeanor to a felony.
Yeah.
Because right now it's only a misdemeanor charge when you do that. It should be a felony because people's lives get ruined and hurt by that. And once someone takes an image of somebody, a naked
All
image
over
of
the
it,
internet.
You can go all over the internet and go all over the world.
Yeah.
It's called the World Wide Web for a reason. And that's what's disconcerting to me. We're going to prosecute this case, hold this individual accountable. But on top of that, I want to make sure people are aware that this statute should be changed and should become a felony. So we'll work with our legislators, and hopefully they can get that part done. That's not my role. That's the legislators' roles. But I've asked them to help
Right.
us get laws changed. And I think we'll do that.
Well, I'll tell you, again, just to go back to the public, parents, grandparents, don't take for granted it, because kids get trapped into these things. You got to control these devices. And now I understand, I hear from parents, oh, easier for you to say, my daughter won't let me see it. Really? Well, things have changed in my house then, because although I will tell you, you may have been here then, I don't know. We had a 15-year-old girl who was selling drugs, and her parents were not allowed in her bedroom. She had a hasp and padlock.
Oh, God.
So we had a search
when
warrant.
I hear people say that, you know, we grew up, our parents made sure that we had controls over us, you know, and when I hear that, it's like, well, if a kid doesn't want to go to school, you're going to tell me I don't have to go to school? No, you don't do that. You got to get into their phones and do that. And they understand if they want to have a phone, which is a privilege, you want to have a phone, you have to follow the rules. And part of one of those rules is to let your parents, first off, keep the tracking device on so you know where your kids are at. And second off is to make sure that they're not on adult sites or sites where adults can get into. And also they'll look to see who they're talking with and make sure that they're not these adult predators who pretend they're 20 years old, who are really, you know, 50 years old. So you've got to really keep an eye on them. And it's very important. I tell the best thing people can do, and I said this all along, spend 15 minutes a day with your kids. When they come
Oh,
home,
absolutely.
sit them down, talk with them, because that's what they want to hear. And you got to make sure that you can tell your children they can tell you anything. And you can't react to them. If they tell you something bad, they did something bad, because they're going to make mistakes. They're children. If they make mistakes, you just listen to them. Don't react to them. And then you set the ground rules after that. This is why you can't do this. But listen to them, help them, and get them to people that can help them if they've been a victim of a crime, or if they've been a victim of bullying, a victim of any of these things that take place. But it all comes down to spending that 15 minutes a day. So there's, whether it's at dinner, whether it's just after their before they go to bed, whether it's just before the TV time, whatever, 15 minutes, just what happened during the day? So many of us, parents are included, they're looking at their phones, they're watching TV, they're doing other things, and they're not having the social interaction with your child. Make sure you have that social interaction with your child, because it will make a world of difference as they grow up. And you'll know a little bit more about them. You'll have a better relationship with them, and you'll get more trust for them. So it's to me, it's important that way. And but at the same time, too, if people don't understand, we are running these trainings in the school with kids and their parents, so they can understand the dangers that exist out there. Just like I do with elderly, I talk about the dangers of fraud that's out there and on the computer. We have to do the same thing across the gamut. But I think it's really important that we deal with in the Child Abuse Prevention Month, we deal with our kids and try to listen to them and talk with them.
This isn't a plug, but I have a third book coming out. It's at the editors right now. And chapter two is a whole chapter on, and I learned this working with violent youthful offenders and youthful, not just violent. The number one thing in my belief is listening. And listening and hearing are two different things. And what I see with parents and when I'm talking with these violent youthful offenders was, well, yeah, I told my father and he slapped me all around. You know, bottom line, listen, don't be formulating your response to what you just heard. Listen in total context. Quick story. We used to have to be at the table at 5 o'clock, not 5:01, 5. And so if you wanted to send my father off like a shotgun, if he said to you, so what you do in school today? If you said nothing, get ready. Because there he'd go. But you're right. And one parent, and I say this, and you can disagree with me, Mr. DA. One parent that I know makes the children, two teens, leave their phone with them when they go to bed.
Yeah, not a bad idea because that way kids aren't in their bed. First off, they're not sleeping,
They're
and
not.
they're not doing that. And I think, luckily in Berkshire, I think most schools don't allow the kids to have their phones in the classrooms.
Right.
I
That's
think
what I
it's
assumed.
imperative. Some people, parents will say, "Well, I can't get in touch with my child." Well, you're not supposed to get in touch with your child while they're in class. They're taking
Call the
exams or something
school.
like that. You call the school. If you
Right.
need to get in touch with your child, you call the school.
Worked for us, didn't it? If we
If
had,
we didn't have cell
we had a
phones, Bill,
Berkshire
it's
system.
like people forget cell phones are a relatively new invention in the grand scheme of things. It's
Yeah.
you go back 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, that stuff didn't exist. And I remember when I started prosecuting, I had a beeper, and I'd have to find a payphone, which people don't even know what the payphones are anymore, and people don't know what a beeper is. But in those days, that's how we had to respond on an emergency situation. If I had, as an ADA, if I had to respond somewhere, I had a beeper with me all the time, So, and even with us now, instead, all my lawyers have cell phones. Not their personal cell phones, they have an office cell phone and they're reachable all the time. So that bodes well with a good relationship with the police officers so they can contact the ADAs 24/7, 365 days a year. And we always have lawyers that are on call. They get scheduled for a week at a time that they can answer questions to from the police departments. So and the police officers are aware of that, which is a very beneficial thing to do. And we've implemented that to make sure that the police officers can have that relationship with our ADAs, and the relationship between law enforcement and the prosecutors is nothing short of spectacular. They have a great relationship and they work well. And by working well together, we make the community safer and we make the conviction rate higher, and things just work so much better. And they feel appreciated and they feel like they're doing their good job because their lives are on the line. I'm in the building. They're out in the streets and they're
Right.
going to have the vests on. And everything they walk into is a potentially hazardous situation. You may not think that the situation you walk into could be dangerous. Those are the worst ones. They can be really, really dangerous. So our police officers, we've got to tip our hat to them. They put their lives on the line
Every
every
day.
single day. They go into a domestic violence situation where it's hot, things are really going crazy. They have to walk in there and be the peacekeepers. And that's what they really are. People forget our police officers are peacekeepers. They're not here as Gestapos. They're here to help. And that's what they do. And they work really hard and not a lot of reward. We like to make sure they know that we appreciate what they're doing. We follow up with them. We make sure they know what's happening with each case that they have arrested and we're prosecuting. So that relationship did not exist that way 2.5 years ago. It does now.
And again, I would say too, for child prevention, Child Abuse Prevention Month, April is drawing to a close. But that's just 1 month. It doesn't stop then. So eyes, ears, sense, be open to it. What do you see in a grocery store, or all of these kinds of things? Your kids, your own kids, sit down, talk. Like the DA said, you have to make time. I've told this story before. A couple of weeks ago, I took the Polish princess out. She paid, but because I never had any money. So there's a family of five, three kiddos, mom and dad, all with the phone, not talking to each other. And I was thinking back on my childhood. Dinner time was conversation time.
Absolutely.
And my father would ask us, each and every one of us, what was up, and my mother would chime in and say, oh, when he came home from school, he went right in and did his homework or whatever. It was family time, chatter
It
time.
was, but we had seven kids, so two adults with nine people at that table, and so there was a lot of conversation. It was all over the place, but it was a lot of
Yeah.
conversation. We didn't, phones didn't exist, and it was important to have that community. And I know people are busy now. Those days, like my mom stayed home, but these days are different. So,
Oh, I
mothers
understand
and
that.
fathers work, but you still have to spend that time with your kids. And unfortunately, most times dinners are later now. They're 6 and 7 o'clock because they don't get out of work. We still, the downside to the growth of this country is the amount of time that people work and the amount of time that they don't have off. And, I try to encourage people in my office to make sure they take their time off. And if there's family matters, I make sure they get out so they can be with their kids and do with that. It's so important. I hope all employers do that to their employees to make sure that they focus on the attention of the family and let your employees do the things that are necessary for families, such as going to the parent teacher things or going to a play during the day. We make arrangements for our staff to do that, and I find my employees work harder. They'll come in
Yeah.
more at evenings, on the weekends, as long as they have the flexibility to be able to have their time with their children. And in the end, that pays us such big dividends because their kids grow up with knowing that their parents are there for them
That's
and
true.
loving them and around them. So it's important that we try to, despite how busy we all are these days, and despite the fact that we have to have two incomes in a household, that we still focus on our kids to make sure that we are protecting them and that we are making sure that they're growing and not growing from somebody else on the phone, but growing from you. Kids learn everything from you. They mimic you. They're the shadows of you. Everything you do, they learn from you. Little things you do in the house, whether it's swearing or not, they pick that stuff up. So you've got to be very cautious about
Yep.
what you do around your kids because they're looking at you. That's who they emulate. And so, it's important that you lead by example to your kids, and that way you'll see your kids do so much better in life and have that relationship with their children as well. So, and that's what the kids' place does. It focuses on even on those domestic violence situations to try to get those out of the homes and get people the help and that they need. And sometimes it may be the parents that need the help, and there are programs available for that as well. So, again, it's a we talk about kids, but I really think it's a family month.
It
It's an
is.
awareness
It
month
is.
about child abuse, but I want to focus back on the families. It is so important that we continue to, believe in our kids and our family structure.
And you, I think, just gave a good advice, if I may compliment you on that. Folks, we know it's difficult. We know a lot of people are working two jobs, blah, blah, blah. Set a plan. Have a plan. We're going to meet. We're going to meet tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the living room. Be there and chat. Or Saturday morning, let's have a plan. Yeah, and I know from my experience with violin, the parents played such a negative role in their life by, as the DA just said, by the role model they provided. Oh yeah, go, you can take that. But dad is stealing, don't worry about it. They got a lot of them.
I know. I mean, when my kids are growing up, they're all in their 30s now, and my kids are growing up, and we would watch TV with them, and then you'd find the inquisitive nature. They ask you questions. They're learning from you as they watch particular programming, and so I know a lot of people now go separate rooms and do separate things. It's important because your kids may be watching whether it's a police show or a fire show, whatever, but they ask the questions, and that's a chance to teach them about realities of life and about things that you've learned during the course of your life. And it's just if you can spend the time with kids. I ask if you spend 15 minutes a day, it was wonderful. If you can spend more time with that, I really applaud you because I think I know, it's important for a family unit to be able to spend that time, whether it's watching TV on a Friday night or a Sunday night. When we grew up, we watched on Sunday night because that was what Disney's was on Sunday night, if you remember those days. So the family would get together, we'd have popcorn, and it was always a chance. Now we've seen that dissipate because of the fact that the devices and the social media that everybody's on. So if you can just take a minute every day, 15 minutes, get off those phones, turn the TV off, and just talk about what's going on. And that way it's not unique and not odd for your kids to talk to you. You're not unique and odd what they should say to you. And I always let them know they can tell you anything, that they won't get in trouble for it, tell you anything. And then you'll explain to them why the consequences are and what happens and that there are consequences in life and there's accountability in life. Because that's one thing I brought to this office is accountability. Everybody, I'm making sure defendants are accountable for their actions. I'm making sure my lawyers are doing their job, and we're accountable to the community. That's why I make sure all my lawyers and my staff are out in the community all year long. I require 4 hours of the minimum of 4 hours of community service from every single employee. I get probably 20 hours or more than that from every single employee because they do go out so that the public can be aware. That we're here for you. We're in marginalized communities there in the summertime, making sure we're visible, that you can talk to us, that we're available too. So it works that way even in real life when you're dealing with your job and community. So make yourself available. And you said the best thing ever. Listen. And you always say, listen. It's so important to listen. We all talk a lot, but it's important to listen.
Just the youth. My youth, I was my father's remote control. He would say, "Billy, turn it, get up and turn it on channel 10. Ed Sullivan's on."
That and you probably remember fix the rabbit ears or whatever.
Yeah, oh
Remember?
yeah, that was But I guess just thank you for that compliment, because I will tell you, I've learned that over my life. Listen with an open mind. Don't be formulating your response to what you just heard, because down that could be a ruse. And kids in trouble, you know as well as I do, they'll run a rabbit just to see what your response is going to be.
Absolutely, they test the boundaries. That's what kids do,
Yes.
you know. And those are usually
Chapter
good sign of a
three.
kid that's going to go somewhere. They're questioning things, and so they're doing that. They're going to do that, but you're the one that has to set the rules. And on top of that, we live in a world now that's much different. The news at night is very negative, more so
Oh.
than it's ever been before. And social media is very negative. There's so much hatred going on out there, and we have to bring civility back to our community. And that's why I think it's important for us to be engaged in the community. That's why I hired a community engagement person, because civility means everything. Say hello to your neighbor. Shake someone's hand. Open the door for them. Let someone get cut in front of you when you're letting. If you're in your car, don't get
Yeah.
into the road. Treat people with civility. Treat them as if you wanted to be treated. And if we do that, then this whole community benefits so much better. Rather than the anger and the strife that we're seeing on TV and on some of the posts and some of the social media stuff that's out there, it's just downright brutal. I was embarrassed to hear what the president said last week on Easter Sunday versus what the Pope had said. So, you know, I just hope that people try to treat each other respectfully. And I'm not taking any political position on any of this. I'm
No.
just saying I would like to see people, you know, try to be civil to each other rather than hate towards each other, because there's too much hate in this world. And we know that. I know that in this field, because I deal with hate all the time with prosecutions and with hate crimes. And crimes where people hurt each other because of hatred. So it's so important that we get back to the
Yeah.
basics of just treating each other with civility and kindness, because we're all in this together. We're all on the same page. That's what's great about Berkshire County. We all care about each other. It's a very close-knit county,
Yes,
even
it
though
is.
we go from Connecticut to Vermont. You know, it's a big area into New York, and even though we only have 128,000 people residing in our county, but everybody should be realizing just how important it is for us to be together and be unified and try to make sure that we are helping our brothers and sisters out across the board.
We got to take a quick break. We will be back with the DA. Much more to talk about. One of the things he's also this month, he kind of been hanging around. He also did the ORC organized retail crime seminar. I couldn't make it because of a VA thing. I really wanted to go to it, and he invited me. It's a multi-headed approach that the DA say he. While he oversees it all, he's got people, that's their life. The organized retail crime, child abuse, every day these folks are doing it, and they're doing a great job. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial, simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301, and we are now down in the former State Representative Pignatelli's area. Without a passport, I can go down there now on 88.1 FM. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, please.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Berkshire County is headed toward a brighter tomorrow, and that future begins with you. The Berkshires are on the brink of falling into a major mental health crisis. Due to the lack of access, many patients, especially children, are waiting months for appropriate care. You can help by advocating for yourself and others to find careers in mental health. Be a mental health hero for the Berkshires. For more information, please visit thebreencenter.org or namibc.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're right back. I'm here today with someone I have the greatest respect for because he does what he said he was going to do during his campaign. And he does it with class, and he does it for our sakes. You know, I'm not going to get into politics or people or any of that, but there are people in those career fields that they do it for their sake so that they get reelected. You know, and our mutual friend, former Representative Smitty Pignatelli, who I think hung the moon too, his favorite thing, and I tell young people going into politics this, Smitty used to say, if we do our job every day, we don't have to worry about election day. And boy, there's a lot of truth to that. And this guy, I'll share this with you. I told him to get some downtime. I can talk to him like that because I'm twice his age. Well, close. But the district attorney, just to let everybody know, I'm doing this show at the end of April for a specific reason. It's the end of Child Prevention Abuse Month, Prevent Child Abuse. But it shouldn't stop. He just nailed 13, 14 people for trying to have sex with young girls in Berkshire County. So we're not immune. You probably hear this, and it probably does the same thing to you. Yeah, oh, that had never happened here. Happening here.
Yeah, people don't want to focus on it. It's hard. You know, it's an ugly thing to see, an ugly thing to hear. We don't like to think that people would find children sexually attractive, but they do. And it's unfortunately, and kids as young as 2 and 3, I prosecuted one person that raped his own 13-month-old baby. So, you know, these things happen. And that person can get 27 to 35 and spend the rest of his life in prison. But it's really disturbing. But you have to focus on it. In order to focus on it, we have to talk about it. And the reason we talk about it is because, I go back to this again, is that abusers rely upon silence. They don't want kids to talk. They don't want kids to talk. That's why I want parents to be able to talk to their kids, because just talk. Because if they've been exposed to something, they need to know, to tell you, and be able to feel good about it. So it is very true. And again, you mentioned Smitty Pignatelli, but you know, Smitty Pignatelli was also crucial in this month, even though he's not in office anymore. He helped us secure this money last fall for the human trafficking grant that we received finally in February. So, I appreciate our legislators that do that work for us and help us and get that money. And I appreciate the governor for giving that money in order to do this. And I prove it to her, and we get more money back because I show them the results that we're doing, and we result result oriented. And I wanted to make a big point in the month of April because it was Child Abuse Prevention Month, and it was that easy to throw the net out there and catch 14 of them in very disturbing graphic stuff. But you're right, I am not stopping. This will continue on the same amount.
Yep.
It's not just one and done. No way. We're out there doing this all the time. And I should say, before this sting operation happened, in the last 2.5 years, we had done, Mark Bailey, the chief of police in North Adams,
yep,
has been doing the catch predators for a long time. We have my state troopers assigned to my office, have been doing the catch a predator for the last 2 years, and we have caught so many of them. But this was just happened to be one particular sting to make a point. But we are always on that. We get the tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, get sent to us, and we do the investigations from there. And it is, we do prosecute an inordinate amount of online crimes regarding child abuse. And then with real victims that end up getting unfortunately hurt and abused by them. So it doesn't stop. But, you know, we like to think we're doing it across the board. I have focused on the guns and the drugs. We've taken a lot, hundreds of guns off the streets of Berkshire
County. That last bust where you put the guns in.
Last week there was 4 guns. Yeah.
Yeah. One was an AR-15 or a...
That's right.
I looked at it, the picture of it. And folks, you should do that. Pay attention to what is going on in the positive progress. Now, to say that we'll be crime free, that's just politicians.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I had to catch myself there. But you have to know, this guy is not sitting in the corner of the ring. He's in the middle of the ring. And he's throwing the punches, and he organized retail crime.
Yeah, that was a big event. That was the first time it's ever happened in Berkshire County. We did, in 2022, when I was running for office, I made a big point about the amount of thefts that were taking place in the Berkshire.
Yeah.
Walmart had lost $1.6 million in 2022 out of the Pittsfield store. That was very disturbing when they told me those stats. Speaking with you, store. So by the fall of my first year in office, I had began to work with RILA, which is the Retail Industry Leaders of America, along with the National District Attorney's Association. And we rolled out the store walk month. So the whole idea was the month of September in 2023 was to go visit stores. Well, it took me 6 months to go to 50 different stores, as it turned out. That's how much need there was and how many people wanted me and the police officers. I brought a team, about 4 or 5 people every single time.
Yeah.
Players. I hired a director, James Hall, who was in charge of all organized retail crime. He coordinates it all between the stores, the police departments, and we keep the data on the IDs of these individuals with videos. And we share them. We also have partnered up with NESPN, which is New England State Police, their investigative services. They enhance videos for us. They can also put these pictures into a database and find out if these people have been picked up anywhere else. And also to look at if they've hit another store, because generally these are coming in streams. So we decided we were going to, I attended one in October in Boston. They had about 100 people there at an organized retail crime conference. And I made it clear that I was going to do that in the Berkshires. And we were able to do that on April 14th. And I brought in very, very high known people from across the country that came in and spoke, along with people from my office. And we had 200 people from the community that were in businesses, either banks or stores, retail managers, all over, anybody in financial institutions. Okay. They came from as far away as Maine and New Jersey. And it became well known throughout the community. We are known nationally now on our work with against organized retail crime. The amount of theft that we've seen dropping down. We've worked hard so to make sure stores like Car Hardware don't have to close on North Street. We're making sure that their store is safe. It's safe for the consumers. It's safe for the people that work there. And we're making sure that these thefts that small businesses can't afford.
No.
These thefts can put them out of business. Everybody says, oh, it's insured. It's not insured. It comes out of your pocket in the long run because the prices go up. And number two, it comes out of the store. And these little stores, we got a great chain of stores with cars that are Berkshire-based.
Yeah.
But they can't survive like a Walmart could to have a $1.6 million loss. And to have the stuff that's coming out of there just being walked out of there. And then the employees getting hurt and harmed on occasion by some of these people coming in there. Then we need to make sure we're doing our job They're trying to sell, and we can't lose businesses in Berkshire County. We can't lose retail stores. As we all know, we don't have enough. So we can't afford to lose them. So I'm making sure we're going to protect our stores, make sure we protect our owners and the employees that work there and the consumers who end up paying the big costs on this when the prices go up because of the theft rate, that they have to increase their cost of their goods rather than just reducing the amount of theft coming out of the stores. So we're doing a bang-up job on that, and I was so proud. Every person that left that place shook my hand on the way out and said, thank you for doing this. And I said, they want us to try to get more DAs off in the state doing that. Tim Cruz in Plymouth is doing it now, as well as myself. So we're seeing if we can get this kind of organized statewide, and we're taking the lead right out of Little Berkshire County, the smallest district in the state. But we're doing the work here because I know our community supports it. I know our community will work with me to get it done. Yeah. And I know people appreciate it. And I do. I walk into stores and people thank me all the time. Hey, thanks for doing what you're doing, because we are seeing a big difference. And that's what I hope people are saying. And you and I talked off the air about this, is that you tell me you're seeing a big change in the last 2.5 years about the safety in the community. And that's heartening to me, because that's my goal, is to try to make people feel a lot safer in their community. Because it is. We live in the Berkshires. It's still the bucolic Berkshires. And we have lots of people that help each other out. But we need people to be diligent, keep their eyes open, and share information. And don't be afraid to work with us and work with the police department. We're not the enemy. We're here to help you.
Yeah.
And we're here to protect you. And that's why, that's our whole goal. And that's why I make sure that people see us out and about, that we're just no different than you and I. You'll see me at Big Y. You'll see me out at restaurants. We met my wife and I. We patronize just about every place around the county to make sure that people are aware of what we have here. And I'm always posting Absolutely. About restaurants we go to, just so people can know what Berkshire County has to offer. Because I love this county. I think we live in a beautiful place. It's gorgeous outdoors, beautiful lakes, beautiful mountains, and great people. So we have the most generous people that really want to contribute to society, to the community. You look at our food pantries, they're always well stocked because of the citizens of Berkshire County. I applaud the work that they do.
Yes.
And I know that every time we have to ask for money for like the kids' place, I know people will step up to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you're going to see this time of year now, all the golf tournaments and the fundraisers, go to those, support these groups. Anybody that's doing them, they're doing this with a lot of hard work to put these things together. But those small dollars that you give go a long way. And almost all these things, when you give to these small organizations like that, even like the kids' place, all the money stays right here. It's not like you give it to an administrative, you're paying a CFO or anything. No, this money stays right in Berkshire County. And it goes to our citizens, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters that may need it. And you never know when you may have a tragedy in your family and you need help. So always remember to try to be civil with each other, try to help each other out. So you may need that time sometimes to have help from somebody else, because we all do sooner or later.
Yeah, I can speak from experience of bumping into the DA in various places when I'm out and about with the Polish princess. The last place we bumped into each other, and that was the Greek pastry sale.
I'm paying for that one, Bill.
I will say this, from the size of the boxes he was carrying, he contributed heavily.
It's an important part. My wife is Greek as well, and I love the festivals. I miss the festivals. I hope they're coming back. I hope the Greek festival will be back again this year, I'm told.
I heard that.
St. Mark's School, that was Hilkers Education, helps them out and does that. The Polish festival up at St. Joseph's is a wonderful one.
That's coming. That's back.
Yeah, and I love to see it. We get back doing, if it's not an ethnic fair, if we're doing these first Fridays, to see these great restaurants we have on North Street that are all from Central America, Brazil, and a big Latino population that has this tremendous food that people need to try. And so I hope that we can get people out. I hope the city's going to do that, and you'll see me there, because I'm always walking those things. You won't see me in a parade, but you'll see me out and about patronizing these communities. On Saturdays, I'm walking up and down the street and up at the Portuguese market there, Breaker Foods, and I'm in there. But we walk up and down the street just so that people know that we're around and patronizing our stores that are rebuilding our city.
And Mr. Dia, you the people too, your team from state police, but you've also brought this cohesiveness of crime fighters. They're not punching each other now or cut. What we're seeing is a collaboration to ensure safety in this community. And this community is all of Berkshire County. I sent you something I wrote years ago and testified before Congress about rural crime and rural terrorism. Of course, they're going to go to the Alfords and these Cummingtons and places like that because they're safer there than they are in downtown where there's heavy. And this guy, through his state police and chiefs, even little town chiefs, he's out there. And I think we need to remember that. I also think, too, that what the DA has said through and through and through, we are Berkshire. I've lived all over the world. And there's no place that I've ever lived. And I've lived in some nice places. I've lived in Tucson and in Kansas City or Leavenworth. But I lived there. Just remember that. But bottom line, when a tragedy hits in this county, people come together. If your house burns down, next thing you know, you're getting furniture. You got a place to stay. Your kid's sick. They're putting you up in a hotel in Boston. I mean, let's not. And we're not losing it anymore. I think for a while we were slipping. That's all I'm going to say. We are not losing that anymore. We've got solid judges because we got good prosecutors.
Well,
good defense attorneys too. I can't.
Oh, yeah, the key is really just to make sure that we're doing our jobs and doing it efficiently, and that people know what you're doing. So I think we're very transparent. I make sure everybody knows what we're doing all the time. And you know, we're very vocal, very visible. We get a lot of media coverage because of that, because we share the information so the public can be aware of it. But you're right. There are so many people in this county that do step up for each other and they care about each other. But it comes back to, I believe in leading by optimism. And I think that the more optimistic, I don't want to hear, when I was growing up in the 70s, it was always negative, like no bypass or no mall downtown. Mm-hmm. It was always negative. And when I started the kids' place, people said to me too that you'll never get this off the ground because nothing can happen. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Things do happen. We lead by positivity. We showed that. It's been 32 years in existence. It's still blooming and growing. But that's true in everything we're doing. That's why I'm taking the organized crime into the next level. We're taking the drug addiction issue. I ran an opioid summit last fall with all the local chapters of organizations that exist to help out for treatment. And we had all these little silos out there that the courts weren't aware of and people couldn't get them. We had waiting lists in certain locations and other people weren't having any clients. We pulled them all together in a big opioid summit, talking about the trends in opioids, the use of Tranq, which is a horse tranquilizer that extends the hide but doesn't work for Narcan, doesn't work on it. We shared a lot of the information we're talking about, and we also talked about the treatment modes. How do we get these people that don't have help to the help?
Right.
And I've addressed this with the governor. I've asked for some vans to get people to get to and from their homes to treatment facilities, because our goal is to get people off drugs and to work to work with education and to work with addiction issues, because an addiction is a tough thing to break and they need help and they need the resources. But if we can break that addiction and get them back to work, get them as working members of our community, we all win on that. And to give people the second chance and the opportunity to go to work. And we're going to be having a job fair coming up soon as well, in which we have our Dressing Success program. So we're going to bring the clothing out there as well, so that we can get people who are either, you know, may have been on probation, may have gone through the criminal justice system, or may just be trying to get a job now. And we're going to help people do that by getting them employers out there and teaching people that people who may have paid their dues to society and have reaffirmed themselves and rehabilitated themselves. We want to give those people a second chance and make sure that the employers give these people a second chance. And so we work with that. So a lot of people think that we just prosecute. We don't just prosecute. No. We're also looking to break the cycle and to stop recidivism. And what recidivism means, that people keep committing the same crimes. We want to stop that. How do we stop it? We deal with the addiction issue. And we deal with the mental health issue. I just spoke with Chief Justice Fortas from the Massachusetts. She's in charge of all the district courts in Massachusetts. We are trying to establish emerging adult court here, and we're also trying to establish a mental health court. We already have a drug court, so I talked about that before. We've got some work to do to get the mental health court off the ground, but we're working on that right now. We already treat veterans differently when in court. We try to keep them on a separate day. So we don't have a lot of veterans here. Northampton, for example, has a lot more than we do because of the facility there. But the ones we do, we try to focus on specific individuals that may need extra attention in court. Mental health is one of them. So I've been working with the trial court to try to bring that to the Berkshires as well. So when you talk about what we're doing, I'm doing different things around the clock on so many different levels. Bringing that to Berkshire County would be wonderful. Bringing an adult emerging a court, an emerging adult court, very important. That's dealing with 18-year-olds to 25-year-olds, but dealing with their problems when they come into the court system, whether or not it's punishment, whether or not it's treatment, and whether or not it's rehabilitation. So we're working on that with the state level, with the state support. And I was so pleased to hear the Chief Justice saying that she wants potentially make us one of the pilot programs out here. So we're not there yet, but we're having this conversation. So there is just so many different things that I could go on for hours, the things that we have done in the last 2.5 years, because there's a lot on my plate. But, I'm equipped for this. I've been doing this for 39 years. So I know what I'm talking about. And I know what I'm doing.
And I say it again. I've said it every time he's been on. I got to hurry up or I'll get cut off. He knows both sides of the bar. He was a defense. He's a prosecutor. To dispel one of the things that they threw at him when he was running, and I feel an obligation to do this, is, he's a hanging judge. He's going to do this. He's just... No, if you listen to what he just said, he's trying to prevent crime by taking care of the basis of crime, the why happens. And I will say this, as a veteran, thank you very much for realizing that some of these folks come home with issues and have seen things that no human being should see. And maybe they have a drinking problem, drug problem, getting along problem. Don't go, I got to read this because you might be interested in these. Here are some announcements, folks. I'm going to race through this. Memorial Day will be on May the 26th. The parade will start at City Hall Plaza, and it will go down 70 Allen Street at 9 a.m. and proceed to the Pittsfield Cemetery. There will be a ceremony there at 8:45. It's always, to me, it's mandatory. It doesn't have to be to you. But it would be wonderful if you could show up for those who gave it all. Also happening on May the 23rd, near and dear to my heart, Soldier On Golf Tournament. There's more information. You can call Casey DeSico, 413-207-4746. And this one gets me in the back door of heaven. St. Mary's School Bingo. There'll be the next bingo May the 10th and June the 14th. Full bingo. They have all kinds. You must be 18. Other than that, Mr. District Attorney, I want you to go home and take some downtime. You owe it to yourself. Thank you for always being there for this show and me, but for all the citizens of Berkshire County. You and your wonderful wife are... We're a prize. It's so good to have you.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right. I get hate mail for this. God bless. And today, try to lift somebody's spirits. Make them smile. Like to be nice. And remember this, we're all in this together. So let's help each other. I'm tired of meanness. I'm tired of hatred. So let's try to turn the corner. Let us be the lights. Thanks, Mr. District Attorney. God bless to you and your beautiful wife and family. Bye, everybody. Talk to you soon. Thanks.